Good morning, the time is 9:01 and I'm going to call the meeting of the Texas Commission of Fire Protection to order. Today is April 21st, 2022. Before we begin, I'd like to read a statement at the bottom of the agenda. I think I've been delinquent in doing this the last couple of times, but just to make sure that everybody is aware. Any invocation that may be offered before the official start of the commission meeting shall be voluntary offering. It should be at the voluntary offering of a chaplain to and for the benefit of the commission. The views or beliefs expressed by the invocation speaker have not been previously reviewed or approved by the commission and do not necessarily represent the religious beliefs or views of the council in part or as a whole. No member of the community is required to attend or participate in the invocation, and such a decision will have no impact on their right to participate actively in the business of the commission. Copies of the policy governing the invocations and setting forth the procedure to have a volunteer deliver an invocation are available upon written request submitted to the commission clerk. So with that, good morning everyone and welcome. It's good to see a goodly number of people in the room, and we will get right into our agenda with item number one.
Call to order with invocation and pledge of allegiance.
So for the invocation, I'd ask that we please rise. I'm going to ask Commissioner Wilson to do the invocation. Commissioner DeVilliers will deliver our pledges.
Pray with me, please. Father God, thank you, first of all, for this morning. Thank you for such a pleasant morning, Lord, and we pray that you be with us, be present with us during this time. We pray for the safety of all of our first responders across this great state. And Lord, we acknowledge you as our God, and we pray for heavenly wisdom in all the decisions that would be made by this group this morning. Lord, we thank you again for life. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, for us, and we acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that your Spirit be with us over this atmosphere as we meet this morning for the purpose of bringing about a safer environment for all of our firefighters across the state of Texas. We pray your blessings on everyone present here this morning. We pray your blessings upon this meeting. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Could you join me in the pledge? Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now the Texas flag. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Commissioners. And we'll move along to item two.
Roll call, excuse of commissioner absences. Please identify your presence when I call your name. Commissioner Cantu.
Here.
Commissioner Coatney.
Here.
Commissioner DeVillas.
Here.
Commissioner Glenn.
Here.
Commissioner Hamilton.
Here.
Commissioner Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Lowell.
Here.
Commissioner Morgan is present. Commissioner Sharma.
Here.
Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Steelman.
Here.
Commissioner Vandegrift.
Here.
Commissioner Wilson.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you all, commissioners, for being here with us this morning. All right. Item three.
Commission meeting minutes of January 19th, 2022 and January 20th, 2022.
Commissioners, you have copies of the both of these agendas in your packet. I hope you've had opportunity to review them. Does anyone have any questions, concerns, or comments they'd like to make? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Motion by Commissioner Jones.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item four.
The Budget and Strategic Plan Subcommittee may meet on April 21st, 2022 during the commission meeting and provide a report relating to any recommendations developed by the subcommittee relating to modifications to the agency operating budget and strategic plan. So as the chair of that committee, we did meet previously via Zoom as well as yesterday physically in person. We've started reviewing the current strategic plan draft with Chief Wisco and the staff. They've done an excellent job putting that together. And we hope to have a full report of that strategic plan at the next commission meeting.
Okay. Commissioners, any question for Commissioner Morgan? Okay, that requires no action. We'll move on to item five.
Reports from fire service interest groups and agencies on matters relating to their specific organizational purposes, functions, activities, and objectives, including reports from the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, the Texas State Association of Firefighters, the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas, the Texas Fire Marshals Association, the Texas Association of Fire Educators, the Texas A&M Forest Service, the National Fire Protection Association, Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, the Center for Public Safety Excellence, the State Fire Marshal's Office, and the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
All right, thank you. A report from the Texas Fire Chiefs Association. Commissioner Wilson, you want to?
We just finished up our annual conference, and I will say, it, in my opinion, it was the best we've ever had. If you were there, I would feel sure that you would agree. As far as the standing of the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, we had the financial report presented, and we are in very good standing. So there's been quite a recovery over the last year and a half or so. But an outstanding conference and very, very well attended. With the finish up of getting to hear from Rudy, if you weren't there, we ended on a high note because Rudy, who played in the movie Rudy, was actually there and had the final session. So that was quite a treat. But overall, outstanding conference, very well attended, and again, we're in very good shape. So nothing but good to report, really.
I would concur. Looking forward to next year's conference. All right, thank you for that report. Anyone from the Texas State Association of Firefighters?
Glenda Shields with Texas State Association of Firefighters. Real quick, we just have a leadership summit coming up, I think at the end of May at Lake Texoma. Probably, I don't know, a couple hundred people will be there. Other than that, we're working on legislation, so I'll probably be calling some of y'all up in the next few months. All right, thank you.
Thank you. State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas.
Good morning, all. State Firefighter and Fire Marshal Association, one thing is we are trying to get back to some kind of normalcy. With that said, development is continuing on our data tracking system. Right now there's many, many codes being written. And at some point we would probably like to meet with TCFP about will there be a need possibly to share information between the two systems, such as training and certifications. Right now, we're doing online testing. There for a couple of years, we wasn't able to get a lot of tests done. Right now, we've administered over 600 tests, and we look to expand to some additional certifications later this year, such as driver operator and instructor 1 and 2. Our website will also be undergoing a makeover to make it user-friendly when you go on to look for some things. The biggest thing we're looking at right now is finalizing our conference that will take place June 24th through the 29th in Beaumont, Texas. The one thing I do want to let you know is that there are several tracks that we're offering, Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, industrial tracks, wildland tracks, so there's a lot there for people. I want to thank Director Wisco for agreeing to give a report during our opening business session on Sunday. And I also want to thank members of the Health and Wellness Committee who've agreed to conduct some training sessions during our training days on Monday and Tuesday. With that, if you have any questions, I'll be here. Director Rutland apologizes that he couldn't be here, so I've actually tried to take his place. Not sure I've done a good job, but I'm here to answer questions if you got them. Thank you.
You did just fine. Thank you for the information. Anyone from the Texas Fire Marshals Association?
Good morning. Ariana Kistner with Rockwall Fire, and I'm the current president of the Texas Fire Marshals Association. We, too, are in the planning process for our 2022 conference, which will be held in October 24th through the 28th in San Marcos, Texas. We had a great, successful 2021 conference on the heels of COVID. We had nearly 400 attendees, and so almost record numbers for us, so we were excited about that. We'll be attending the International Fire Marshals Association in Boston in June, representing the state of Texas, and we're looking forward to working with fire marshals from not only across the country, but across the world. We also want to take a moment to thank the commission for forming the Texas Fire Marshals Committee, ad hoc committee, for the certification. We have several members on that committee, and we are excited about what that looks like for the future of Texas. Thank you.
Thank you for that report. Anyone from the Texas Association of Fire Educators? Seeing none. Anyone from Texas A&M Forest Service?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Chief Wisco. Just a quick update, Texas A&M Forest Service. My name is Wes Moorhead. I'm Associate Director and Fire Chief for the agency. As y'all probably already know, we have a significant uptick in wildland fire response. Just want to give you a couple numbers related to that. Last 4 months, the agency responded to 765 wildfires, consuming 344,000 acres. That's primarily in central and west Texas. That's where the largest drought conditions are currently existing. Now, to respond to that, we brought in outside resources. We've currently got 102 outside state of Texas resources. So these are resources from other state agencies. We currently have 12 states represented in those. We've also increased our aircraft staffing. We're up to 34 aircraft in the state. We've also really leaned forward on TIFMIS this season. I've got a couple stats for TIFMIS. We've deployed 1,076 TIFMIS firefighters over the last 4 months. That represents 102 departments. And just for perspective, TIFMIS currently has 300 departments rostered and about 4,000 wildland firefighters. So we're running about a quarter of those firefighters through the process over the last 4 months. So we've really leaned forward on that. TIFMIS program, another bit of context, we are changing some of the qualification systems when it comes to wildland firefighters. Historically, they've maintained a blue card, an alternate qualification system to what we maintain in our agency, the red card. We are transitioning to them to a red card certification as well. So they'll be certified the same standard that the agency firefighters are certified. This will be a long process. It'll be about a two-year process, but we're working toward that right now. The last thing I wanted to brief on is our all-hazard incident management teams. Previously, I presented to y'all that we were rebooting that program, taking 17 teams down to 6 to match the TEEX extension regions, to match the TDEM response regions. We currently have 4 of those 6 rostered, and they will undergo training in May with TEEX. It'll be the MGT 314 course, which is the Enhanced All-Hazard Incident Management Unified Command course. So those are moving along really nicely. That's the end of my report, unless you have any questions.
Seeing none, thank you for your report. All right, moving on to the National Fire Protection Association.
Kelly's unable to be here. She'll be here in July.
Okay. We'll move on to the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts.
Good morning. Clay Avery, the Assistant Executive Director. Sorry. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Clay Avery, the Assistant Executive Director of the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts. We are the State Association for Emergency Services Districts, ESDs. We've had, since we've last met, we had our conference in February. We had record attendance there in Kalahari in Round Rock. That's on the heels of our fall event, which was in September of 2021, which was a replacement for the postponed 2021 annual conference. I'd like to thank Agency Chief Wisco for not only presenting at our fall event last September and representing the agency well there, but also representing the agency at the conference throughout the weekend. And y'all also had a booth there, and we're thankful for the partnership with the commission. We had our leadership change. I would be remiss if I didn't recognize our immediate past president, Mark Jack, who's here as part of the DFW Fire Department. He's now our vice president. And we're very happy to have him still engaged. Mark and the rest of the crew will be meeting at Hilltop Lakes in May to do a strategic planning. That will funnel into our legislative efforts for 2023, which we'll be gearing up for, looking towards legislation that may affect ESDs and trying to better the world for ESDs. For the rest of the year, we're going to be focusing on online training and webcast training since we actually don't have a conference to plan until next year, which is nice after doing 2 in 6 months. But next year, we will be back at Kalahari in February of 2023, so we hope to see everybody there. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions? Okay. Thank you for the report. The Center for Public Safety Excellence.
Good morning. My name is Leonard Chan, the current chair of the Texas Center for Public Safety Excellence Consortium, or the Texas CPSE Consortium. The consortium strives to develop a collaborative relationship among fire departments across the state to achieve excellence through continuous improvement, peer mentoring, and professional development, especially through CPSC's agency accreditation program and professional credentialing. We also had a conference like everyone else here. The CPSC Excellence Conference concluded last month with a record number of Texas-based speakers and attendees. Next conference will be February 28th through March 1st in Orlando, once again. I will continue to serve as chair. Brian Norris of San Antonio Fire Department is going to be the new vice chair, and Roland DeGraw of Southlake will continue to be secretary. We'll be holding a webinar on Thursday, April 28th at 10 a.m. Central, featuring Chelsea Robudo from NFPA to discuss the public comment process with a special focus on NFPA 1022. Like all of our events that are based in Texas, they are free, so if you're interested, please contact me, and I'm open to any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Chan? All right, thank you. The State Fire Marshal's Office.
Good morning, Orlando Hernandez, State Fire Marshal. Just wanted to say good morning, and brought a couple of folks with us. We work with ISO to do the PPC surveys across Texas for the fire departments, and we have a couple of folks from our office and ISO here just to give you a little rundown so we can provide you any assistance when they do the survey, when they come out to your fire department. We're more than happy to help from both sides. So we have Joe Duke, and then we have Kim, and he's the director for the PPC section, and we have Skip Gibson from ISO. So just going to give you a couple of minutes, a quick rundown of what they do and the service they can provide.
Sure.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning. My name is Joel Duke. I'm the Public Protection and Classification Oversight Officer at the Texas State Fire Marshal's Office. I've been in that role for almost a year, and within the last year, my goals have been to identify issues where we can improve and streamline processes to make sure our data is streamlined and that things are accomplished efficiently. My most common question and my most common resource that I help departments with is really just what is involved with the ISO survey. I've updated our frequently asked questions. I track all of our monthly website traffic, and I make sure that if anyone ever needs to get in touch with ISO, that they're able to do that. We've also, I think the number one question I get is about getting your PPC score. That's been a recent legal change within the last year that must be an open records request with TDI because we do not perform those surveys. That information is not ours. That is also for insurers. Everyone must do a open records request with TDI. And other than that, in the future, I'm going to continue making resources I can legally put on our website to help mainly rural fire departments to achieve a better score. And thank you for your time. With that, I will introduce ISO Texas Regional Manager, Hugh Skip Gibson.
Thanks, Joel. One of the most important things I want to tell you all this morning is that we work together now. Years ago, it was a little contentious, possibly, maybe, but we work together. We meet scheduled weekly and sometimes daily. So we work together, and our main goal is to reflect the good work that the fire service does in Texas. As you know, the ratings, 50% of that is the fire department, 9% is training. And as you know, maybe you don't know, Texas leads the nation in better ratings across the country, and it's because of all the good work that you all do and the fire service. And we want to continue to reflect that good work. We want to keep the PPC ratings current, because if they go, you know, more than 5 years or so, insurers lose confidence in that. So our goal is to make sure we keep you current. We don't want to bother you. We want to work together. And we've streamlined the process to make it, relatively simple. We also, collectively, the State Fire Marshal has authorized we do joint training classes. So any of your conferences, any of your meetings, we can customize whatever your time frame is. If you tell us you only give us 10 minutes, we'll do 10 minutes. If you have all day, we'll do all day. We can do it, and we can specify an overview class, or we can just break down and do a class just on the training requirements. We also, I wanted to tell you all, we have a new website called Mitigate. Any community that's been recently updated, we give the fire chief a website that is their information and broke down with benchmarking information that rates it compares the community both statewide, nationally, and amongst the peer group. And the last thing I want to tell you all, if you hear the company name Veris, that's our parent company. We're still ISO, and we do the public, it's still ISO public protection classifications, but I'm a Veris employee, I guess, if you really break it down. Thank you all, and, you know, again, we salute all the good work you do.
Thank you for being here this morning. And anyone from the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation? Okay, that closes out item five. Move on to item six.
Report from Commission Representative to the Texas Fire School Advisory Board or by representatives of the Texas Engineering Extension Service, TEEKS, regarding fire protection training provided by TEEKS through its Emergency Services Training Institute.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Chris Anger. I'm the Executive Associate Division Director with TEEKS, the Emergency Services Training Division. What we've got going on right now with TEEKS, we do represent the advisory board. We will be having our next advisory board meeting on May the 5th, and I have a number of folks there that will be part of that. We're working on a number of pro board curriculum updates, and so most notably right now, NFPA 1041 Live Fire Instructor, we will be piloting that class for the first time tomorrow. I have a number of folks that are coming in to take that class as a pilot to make sure that we can work out the bugs on that. We're still working on NFPA 1041 Live Fire Instructor in Charge. So that's another component of that. We're working on test bank development right now. We should have that complete by about May or June of this year. NFPA 1006 Technical Rescue, we're working on that as well. The revision to the 2021 standard. That will encompass ropes awareness and operation, rope technician, confined space awareness, operations and technician, and then trench awareness, operation and technician. And if you've been living under a rock, you've probably heard about NFPA 470. If you haven't been living under a rock, you heard about that. So that's going to take us about a year. We've got some folks that are dedicated to revising our curriculum currently right now to the new standard because of the consolidation of 472 and 1072. That will encompass hazmat awareness and operations, technician, and incident commander. We should have that ready to go by about September of 2023. We haven't had our big event for the year yet. The Leadership Development Symposium is currently scheduled for May 17th through the 19th. We had it scheduled originally in January, and because of something called Omicron, we had to postpone that. And so now we've got it scheduled for May. We look forward to having everyone there. Just want to remind you that for Texas first responders, that is a free event for registration. Now, you have to pay your meals and hotel, but we're going to get you there, and we've got some really good lineup for speakers on that as well. We just want you to be there. And then I just wanted to throw this in. You know, the Texas Fire Chief of the Year might be there. We're going to his home city. Les Stevens was awarded that at the conference last week for the Texas Fire Chiefs Association. Another big event that we have coming up is our annual schools. Getting ready for the summer, we had a very good spring school. Right now what we have on tap is our Spanish school, July the 10th to the 15th. That'll be our 56th offering of that. Our 60th offering of our annual industrial school, July 17th through the 22nd. And then most notably for y'all is the 93rd annual municipal school, July 24th through the 29th. If you did notice when you came in the door this morning, we're working hand-in-hand with TCFP on getting you CE credit for the regional meetings that they're doing and the commission meeting this morning. If you do not have a TEEKS portal address to get you what you need there, we will work with you. I saw Rick Wall in here a little bit earlier. I can help you with that as well. But don't come to these meetings, don't come to these regional meetings and not get CE for it because you're eligible for that. And then what we've got coming up on our agenda, we're going to have a number of us that will be at FDIC in Indianapolis next week. We will be at the TDM conference in late May, and then the SFFMA conference coming up in late June. And with that, I will entertain any questions you might have for me.
Okay, any questions for Chris? Chris, I just want to say thank you all for the work on the CE piece of that. That's a huge step, so we appreciate everything that's gone into that.
Well, we just appreciate the partnership, and Mike is the one who really reached out to us on that and got the ball rolling, and we're glad to be a part.
Good deal. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to item seven.
Report from Commission Representative to the Homeland Security Council.
Nothing to report. Their next meeting is next Thursday.
Okay. We'll move on to item 8.
Report from the Health and Wellness Ad Hoc Committee.
Thank you. So our next meeting is May 31st at 10 a.m. It's on the calendar, so if anyone is able to join, that'd be great. And our last meeting also was on the calendar. We had a great presentation by McKinney Fire, their MD, over cancer prevention. We look forward to sharing that soon. And I just want to have Chief Boyker from Sugarland give it a little update with more details over what we're working on. And we look forward to also having our members from Houston speaking at the SFFMA conference.
Very good.
Thank you, Chief Boyker.
Our mental health project has stalled a bit because we had a fire chief relocate out of state, and we're reforming that part of the committee. We expect progress to start shortly on that again. Our cardiac project, as Commissioner Sharma reported, is on track. Chief Kistner was instrumental through McKinney in having their medical director put that class together. We'll be doing two different videos on that to provide the Texas Fire Service, and we start work on that actually at the TEKS Leadership Symposium. We'll be pulling chief officers into a process to build an interest video to push people to the actual class. And then finally, the data report, Grace Wilson has sent the data over. It's 50,000 lines of data and of varying quality. I have great empathy for Grace's plight in life when she's dealing with data that originates with the fire departments. So we'll be crunching those numbers in conjunction with her and the Firefighter Advisory Board to try and put a practical guide together for the Texas Fire Service to identify injury prevention techniques.
Thank you,
Chief Boker.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sure Grace knocked that report out in about 30 minutes. Okay, anything else?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to item number 9.
Report from the Chapter 427 Ad Hoc Committee.
Okay, Commissioner Hamilton, I'm remiss. I will let you do your introduction. I'm sorry, I meant to
do
this.
That's quite all right. I figured we'd wait till this time. I do want to introduce Chris Cook, the new fire chief at Vernon, if you'll stand. He's taken over that department, and he may be calling some of y'all for information or guidance or leadership, but this is his first meeting to attend, and he's from God's country, kind of where we're burning everything in the world. But he is here, and I want to welcome him.
Yes, sir. Chief Cook, good to have you.
The 427 has met on numerous occasions. First of all, I'd like to read, because as far as the membership, Pat McCullough from Collin College, Brad Easley from Sugarland, Richard Sedello from Laredo, James Pitts from Port of Houston, Jacob Smith, Tarrant County College, George Malone, Collin College, Stephen Malley, Amarillo College, Chris Anger from Teeks, Paul Siebert from Teeks, Christina Foley from Teeks, Mick Moffitt, Fire Training Company, and most of the time Rick Wallace is with us from the TCFP, as long as together with Mike Jones that did the 435 committee. We met numerous times with the commission, plus all the rest of the staff. We do have a document that is as far as we can tell, is pretty finalized. Deborah's put it all together with the last format from it, and I visited with Pat, and I wasn't aware Pat wasn't going to be here today, but we will continue with that. And I don't know whether any of y'all have seen the final draft that we're going to present, and David DeYeer, if you would like to speak at this time on any part of it, because it's ready to go to the Firefighter Advisory Committee and get their approval or any changes. They've already met and looked at it a little bit and think that some of the things that we have changed through the time frame it will fit, but there will be a final draft that will come to the commission, and Chief Wisco, it should be ready to go in July. So we may present that for you to look at prior to the workshop in July, and then come to the commission for the meeting in July. But it is a deal, and these people, and I'll mention all of them, but Commissioner Coatney, your recommendation when I called you, because I needed three people from a university, you were spot on. It was amazing. And you, somebody in that neck of the woods gave Christina Foley another position, which took her away from me a little bit, but Anger and Foley Siebert, I mean, stepped in and took care of that. So they did an outstanding job, along with everybody else on the committee. So they did a good job. And I appreciate the direction that we got from the staff and Chief Wisco to get us through that. But that's where we're at this time.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Commissioner Hamilton, thank you and the committee for your work on that. I know it's been a journey, but thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, moving on to item 10.
Subjects for future commission meeting agendas.
Commissioners or audience, is there anything that you would like to see added for consideration or discussion at a future meeting? Okay, seeing none, moving on to item 11.
Future meeting dates.
I believe our dates are already set. Does anybody have any conflict with anything that has come up since we set those dates? Okay, we'll move on to item 12.
Matters referred from the Firefighter Advisory Committee, including but not limited to A, possible final adoption of the proposed amendments as follows. Number one, 37 Texas Administrative Code Part 13, Chapter 461, Incident Commander. And number two, 37 Texas Administrative Code Part 13, Chapter 437, Fees.
Okay.
Good morning, Commissioners. Daniel DeYeer with the Advisory Committee. We have several items we forwarded to you here this morning. So, Commissioner Steelman, do you want me to start with number A?
Yes, sir. We'll just work our way down.
So, we met back in March and discussed this at length, and we did not have any additions to what's proposed in front of you today. Other than just answering any questions, there was a lot of clarity that was deleted in that Chapter 461.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions, comments, concern over 461 Incident Commander? This is up for final adoption. With that, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Sorry. Motion by Commissioner Smith.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Cantu. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, and the next agenda item on Chapter 437, fees, there was some lengthy discussion amongst our committee, especially because there were not us, but staff was also proposing that we change the fees from $75 to $60. That's reflected in the documentation you have in front of you right now. We discussed this at length, but we supported this, and we're moving it forward to you to final adoption today.
Okay. Commissioners, any discussions, comments, questions?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Hamilton, second by Commissioner Wilson. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. We'll move on to a B.
Yeah, so the next several agenda items are not for final adoption, but we're moving those to you from our committee. And I guess I can start with Chapter 435, Firefighter Safety. Our committee discussed a few things, but mostly it was cleaning up and changing a lot of the words that were in the existing document. The most repetitive term that we cleared up was regulated entity instead of employing entity that you'll see in your notes. And other than the rewording, which I can answer any questions anybody might have, but there was a pretty lengthy discussion from our committee, but we pretty much left it as you see it in front of you right now.
Question.
Okay. Commissioner Morgan.
So in looking at 435.3 on SCBA, it's charging statements the regulated entity shall. And then items 2 and 3, looks like they used to be subsets of 1, and now they're independent, 2 and 3, but they're complete sentences. I just think those need to be reworded to fit that charging statement. And similarly, item number 8, which is new, it's just worded as a complete sentence rather than fitting the entity shall. Does that make sense? So the other, you know, the other items, shall maintain, and then you get to item number 8, in any workplace where it doesn't make sense, that's all. I just think it needs to be reworded to fit that charging statement. And then also in item number 8, it talks about employer and employee instead of regulated entity and fire protection personnel.
Are you still under number 3, Commissioner?
Yes. So 435.3, and then scroll down to item number 8. So it's the last thing before you get to 435.5. It's the reference to NFPA 1500, but it discusses the employer and responsible employee rather than regulated entity and fire protection personnel.
Okay.
And then the last question I had was 435.31 at the very end. It's the cancer training. So it looks like we're giving 5 years to get 2 hours of training. I'm just asking why 5 years.
I'd like to kind of defer to staff.
Yeah, I can answer that for you. That language simply mirrors what we did with the Courage to Be Safe and the traffic incident management. And that was just the time frame allowed in those in the subcommittee.
Okay.
Like that language, so that we push that forward.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I would like to ask that we accelerate the timeline on the cancer CE. I think 5 years, I'd rather see it done in a couple of years. I think it's a very relevant topic that's impacting a lot of firefighters across our state and across the nation.
Do you have a recommendation?
I recommend the language be changed to have a date of all regulated on 435.31B, all regulated fire protection personnel must complete the Firefighter Cancer Support Network Cancer Awareness Training Program prior to December 1st of 2024. Now, does that provide staff adequate time and also the agencies have to create the continuing education for that to build that out?
Sure, yeah. It's the Cancer Support Network's program. I mean, it's just the departments will have to enter in their system and then we can check for compliance with that during our inspections. So.
Okay.
Commissioner, at our committee, there was some discussion about if there was ever an alternative program that would mirror or match the Cancer Support Network's program, if that would be accepted. That was something that was discussed in our meeting.
I would think it would be something we would review. You know, once that becomes more available or clear, then I think we can certainly look at exploring, you know, other options.
Certainly.
Okay. Okay. Commissioners,
Commissioner question. Wilson. On page 45, this is under 435.15. I noticed we had, as Mr. Morgan was pointing out, a lot of shells and wheel and et cetera. But under C, there it says the regulated entity may use standards established by the NFPA, which by interpretation would also stand to mean may not. Wouldn't we want that to say shell? Shall use standards established by the NFPA?
Commissioner, I'm going to double check, but in 419, the law requires that you have an SOP on operating at emergency incidents, but it doesn't say where you should get that. So there's no mandate in the law from that. Just to add to your discussion, I just wanted to clarify that.
So that's one of those. The rule has to.
It's required to have the SOP.
Right.
The law does not tell them where they're going to derive the information.
So the law doesn't say so. Right. Far, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir. 419, and we had some discussion during the committee of it. 419.040 says develop, maintain a standard operating procedure. And that's under. I'm sorry. That's under. There's several here to say that, but like Chief Wisco said, it's. It doesn't say you have to follow the NFPA, so there's a lot of discussion during that from chiefs and everybody that's in there that basically you have to have the policies to operate.
Right.
But we're going to encourage you to use the NFPA, but it doesn't say you have to use it in the statute.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 419.046 that's specific 046, to
right.
Having this SOP. And it does not mandate how they develop it, just says they have to have one.
Right.
Quite honestly, I'm not sure there's an NFPA standard specific to that. I'd have to research that. But
okay.
I don't think there is. I think there's information in 1500 and there's information in several other standards, but I don't believe there's one specific one to that. So most likely that's original wording
right.
from 2011 or so when these became required, and I think it was May because there's just not a one standard you could send them to.
Well, it's coming back to me now. I've slept a few times since we had those committee meetings, but under C it even says that the minimum standards in NFPA, and it says that emergency may be used as a guideline.
Yeah.
Well, then I understand if our rule has to submit to the law, so.
It's just language right out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioners, anything else? So do we want to push this back and bring some revised language back with some of these changes that we've noted today?
Yes.
I guess I need you to specify where you want it to go. Do you want to go back to the firefighter advisory, or you want to send it back to the ad hoc committee?
I think maybe back to the ad hoc committee and let them modify that language with the two or three things that we've talked about in here today.
That'll give us some time to go back and look at the notes as to, because each one of these, we took each point and each point was talked about, so I'd have to go back and have more time to look at the notes as to why I may be able to. Why we did some of the things we did with it.
I mean, there's no rush. We want to get this right.
We
haven't visited this in a long time, and so we know it's kind of a work in progress. Okay, commissioners, anything else? Mr. Chan.
Just a process question. This is only for publication, so can we still comment ahead from the public on these proposed rules, even if they're not proposed yet? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I think so.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Cotton.
I just have a quick question. I guess it's for, I'm not sure if it's for Chief Deere or Chief Wisco, but it's on the modifications two in, two out.
Chief Deere would be a great one to answer that.
Okay. Well, let me ask a question, then you guys can figure it out. How's that? I appreciate the language change on B, page 46, a reasonable belief of, related to imminent life. I question on C. It says, whenever there is a variance of the procedures, a supplemental report must be submitted to the Texas Commission on Fire Protection, documenting the rationale used to deviate from these written procedures, which I know we've had similar language in it in the past. But so if there is a reasonable belief that somebody was inside and they go in and they don't find anybody inside, does that constitute a deviation from the policy, or would that be consistent with the policy? Because the way I read this, it would be consistent with the policy, which would mean I don't have to, or the, not the policy, but the standard, which would mean I wouldn't have to submit a supplemental report. So I wanted a clarification on that.
Well, this language originally came out of the ad hoc committee, the 435 committee, and this was debated and discussed at length. As a matter of fact, over more than two meetings, I believe it was three meetings before we came to a finalization. Originally, we had a lot of additional wording that was in here that we've since removed, because what we're trying to do is clarify that a little bit better. But to your point, it sounds like we're making it a little bit more muddier than it originally was. But
I don't know that it's muddy. I think a reasonable belief is placed in there, and it's logical. I just am curious if I have a reasonable belief that turns out that there was nobody in the house, but I sent my crews in and deviated from the two-in, two-out recommendations, does that require a supplemental report or not? I know if I just go in because of a whim and I just go in, but if I actually have a reasonable belief somebody's inside, do I still have to submit a supplemental report saying that I deviated from the standard, which it sounds like I'm following the standard then?
So is there any additional language that you would like to see added to that to clarify that? Because I see the point that you're trying to make. But between the ad hoc committee and the advisory committee in our discussions, we know that there's a lot of departments or individuals that circumvent the two-in, two-out rule on a routine basis,
mm-hmm.
and it's an issue. It's a concern for the safety and well-being of the members that are doing that on a regular basis. That was the reason for the initial proposal for somebody to say that that should be reported. In other words, we variated or deviated from the two-in-two-out policy, and we didn't follow those rules. So I'm open. I believe my committee would be. I think the ad hoc committee would also be, open about any additional wording that you want to put in there.
If there's no concerns by any other commissioners, I don't know. It just may be my own interpretation.
So, again, remember, right, this particular one was submitted by Chief Fite during the committee, and if I remember right, it was if you, that's why it says a reason of belief, if you believe and you that there was somebody imminent, then mm-hmm. no, you would not have to. It would be if you if there was reason to believe you did not follow the policy,
right.
The two in, two out. So it was submitted that, if I remember right, it was for if, like I said, if you didn't, if nobody was in there and you knew, if it was, mm-hmm. Basically blatantly broken.
Right.
Which would, there was discussion that would go into the whole talking about after action reports and things like that. So, but I know, I don't want to get ahead of the chairman here, but I see Jim stand up, and he was on the committee as well. But if I remember right, that's where it came from. That was the purpose.
Mr. Reedy.
Morning, Commissioners. Jim Reedy for the TSAFF. This is really about the every building, every time scenario, and sending the one person in, two person in. That's really what the report is about deviating from that. The reasonable suspicion, reasonable expectation thing, I get that too, and that's always going to be a little muddy, right? Especially if you're doing the job. But it's really more about your tactics and your strategy about how many people you're going to send in, and are we doing every building every time? Because this is was a symptom of losing people, and we lost, and Chief, you remember that, we lost a lot of people before this thing came into effect. It's about having enough people on the scene to do the proper search and to do the safe search, and not every building every time. So I guess we could clean it up a little bit or make it a little more definitive. Maybe, do you want something more definitive?
No, I don't. After between you and Chief DeYeer, after you guys explained the process and the back and forth, I think you guys went through it a lot. I think it was just for my own clarity. I like the language. The only reason I asked about that is because I just wanted to make sure that, a deviation, because, if I go in there and I send people in, it's because I have a reason to believe somebody's inside. That's why I'm going to send people in if I'm deviating from two in, two out, So I like the language that's in there. I just wanted to make sure that now I'm not going to have to write a report because I followed what, some of us have a feeling of. We show up at 2:00 in the morning and there's nobody standing outside on the curb, and so we're going to make the assumption of a house is on fire, somebody's on the inside of that, So, no, I'm good with it. I don't think it needs to go back unless any other commissioners believe it or anybody from the audience.
And there's been a lot of literature about squatters lately, about searching for squatters and how we lose people searching for squatters that are never there. So, there is a lot to this, but Chief's right. There's been a lot of circumventing. I mean, you could throw a rock and hit any department that's kind of not really following this. So this is something that was put in to safe, make our firefighters safer, and mm-hmm. we've kind of let it go over years. So, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay. Yes, sir. Commissioners, any other comments, concerns? Okay, so we will send this back to ad hoc. They will make the language adjustments, and we will review this again, possibly in July. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind me adding, one of the things that originally came out of the ad hoc committee is we knew when we made this proposal in the two-in, two-out, it'd be a pretty sensitive subject for a lot of individuals. Sure. And part of the discussion was the fact that we are talking about the two-in, two-out rule. So there is an accomplishment just in the fact that we're viewing it, and it's here in public comment. I know, to Commissioner Jones' point of view, when we first discussed this in the ad hoc committee, that we thought we'd have a lot more public interest or a lot more public comment, and I'm somewhat surprised we haven't. So by running this back through the process again, I'd like to at least go on record to anybody that's here or listening, any advice or any comments they'd like to make to forward it to us, because this impacts everybody that's in the room.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
That is true.
Okay. I'm talking. Chief Boker.
Doug Boker, Circle Inn. Just on the 435.3, I know you've decided to send it back, and I just have some closing thoughts on that. That I worry about an 1851 situation where we adopt a standard in its entirety, and then the unintended consequences and the fiscal impact of that hit a department in such a manner that they don't have the fiscal ability to meet the standard in a timely manner. So I wonder if, when it goes back to ad hoc, if the entirety of the standard is looked at, and then also the rollout period, if we were to adopt the standard today and it goes into standard into effect in May, even a department my size would not be able to respond effectively to meet new standards, and so I worry about that for even moderate size and larger departments. Into my comment.
And on that, Chief, I don't know how much we have. 419.041, it, and the state statute even says we have to follow the standard. So, but we can definitely look at it with ad hoc.
Yeah, I look at 435.5 where it says that the commission recommends compliance with 1500. And that's what we're pointing to is 1500 compliance when it comes to respiratory protection. So it's almost a redundant statement, whether it's a requirement or it's a recommendation. I just think maybe the ad hoc can might be able to offer some clarity in that.
Okay. I'll make a note and we'll take it back. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, anything else on item 15?
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong agenda sheet. On item 14, right? No, wait, I'm still looking at the wrong sheet. Okay.
12B.
Yes.
We're on 12B, correct?
I think so.
I think he's trying to get us out of here.
I'm sitting here. I've got too many agendas in front of me.
We're still in the standards?
Yes.
I do have one question on 4.5.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Cody.
Sorry. So there was a question, a letter written by a Brandon Ledbetter. I don't know if he's here or online. And he is recommending a variance be granted for the fire service instructor. He had 2 points on here. One, that he thinks currently the way the language is written is under E of the 425.1E. It says an individual holds a bachelor's degree or higher in education from a regionally accredited educational institution or a teaching certificate issued by the State Board of Educator certification or an associate's degree with 12 semester hours of educational and instructional courses is considered to have training equivalent to commission's curriculum requirements for instructor 1, 2, and 3 training. And he's asking two questions here in his letter. I won't read the whole letter, I'll just summarize. One, he's asking that any bachelor's degree from an accredited institution be used as translatable to get an instructor certificate. And then the second one is that for those who hold a TCOL instructor certificate, that be provided reciprocity to the TCFP instructor certificate. I will tell you, I didn't go through the initial instructor training when I was in San Antonio, and I was pulled to the academy to assist with a large cadet class, and I was a military training instructor when I was in the military, and so they use that, which is in compliance with this military training as an instructor. And then they gave me reciprocity, which took a few months to actually go through that process to determine the reciprocity. So I can agree in context with the TCOL certification, because you're going to have to go through, to get an instructor certification or TCOL, you're going to have to go through the same thing about understanding how to build a lesson plan. We would need to look at it. But I'm opposed to any bachelor's degree, because you don't, just because you have a bachelor's degree in some anything, doesn't necessarily mean you have the core capabilities to be an instructor. You haven't had the opportunity to build out a lesson plan to understand it. It's on page 40 or 68.
Mr. Chairman, I hate to interrupt you, but I got to point out you're only on 12B2, and that's 12B4.
Oh, I apologize. So when it's 12B4, I have a question.
We're a little ahead still.
Man, I'm sorry. I derailed that train.
He's on the Steelman train right now.
I'll just hold it in place, then, and I'll say what I said before.
Yeah.
I don't know, David.
I didn't know where he was at. He was confused where he was at.
All right, let's get centered back on 12B2.
Good thing that's all on the record, all right, so when you come back.
That's right, that's right. Hit rewind.
What did he say?
I said, oops, that's what I said.
Thank you for that. Chief DeYear, 12B2.
I'm biting my tongue for the last
Please,
minutes.
I know. Just, I need to give you something to throw.
As I was flipping through all my pages trying to figure out where we were, I saw y'all were doing the same.
I will take the blame for that one.
So we're on 12B, which is chapter 403, correct? Okay. We're forwarding it on to you as it was forwarded to us. There was some discussion from our committee, but we made no changes to the document. And it's there for your review.
Just to clarify, this is a required rule review. That's how it was posted. So.
Okay, commissioners. And we're on page 51. Any questions, commissioners, comments, concerns? Okay, if not, I'll entertain. Do I need to entertain a motion on that one? I'm derailed now. So I'll entertain a motion on 12B2.
Still moved.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Glenn, second by Commissioner Wilson. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. All right, we will move on to 12B3.
So all we did with this document as well, we did review it. There was some questions on some of the outdated material dates that were referenced, but I believe they're still in there because they were explained it was the Texas A&M Engineer Extension Service using the 2008 or later edition, but we decided if we changed that terminology, it would impact a lot of other rules. So we left it as it is. We made the change to the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association. That's reflected on your page number 59. And other than that, there was just cleaning up of a few other typos and clarifications.
Okay. Commissioners, any comments, questions, concerns? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Glenn, second by Commissioner Jones. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. 12B4.
Ditto to what I said before.
So, summarize that one more time for me, as best you can.
So I'm supportive of the language as written, but I am also supportive of looking at TCOL and looking at TCOL instructor certification as reciprocity for the TCFP instructor certification, but not his paragraph before that, that was a blanket statement of any bachelor's degree. If we were going to look at that, you know, we could adopt it as is written and it wouldn't change. I just wanted to make sure to comment on his letter.
Okay.
And I had spoken to Chief Pat McAuliffe from the Curriculum and Testing Committee, and he was adamant that we not do that because of some significant changes that have happened over the last decade or so in the fire service. Since you and I, Chief, became instructors, all of the non-required certifications now, there aren't even bullet points in the lesson plans. So he was not comfortable, and perhaps maybe at the next meeting he can weigh in, because he's not here today. Mm-hmm. But he was adamantly against doing that for that reciprocity. And just for clarification, I don't believe the same exists in reverse order. In other words, we can't go to TCOL with our firefighter instructor certification and get designated as an instructor in their curriculum. So over the last couple of decades, there's been a lot more focus on the specialty of instructing in the fire service. And that was, Pat McAuliffe was one of the original creators of this rule back in the day. So he was able to explain how we got to here. So if nothing else, I'd like to at least leave that door open for him to comment and maybe explain that a little bit better.
I would appreciate that.
Okay. So we take no action.
Well, so this is for proposal. So you could propose it. It should go back to the advisory committee if you wanted to, and that's where we could take a better look at this. And I think I'll look at reciprocity by other state entities such as DSHS on the EMS side and TCO. Probably call Director director at TECO and figure out how they do that. I do know that Mr. Ledbetter, with his letter, sent about 127 pages of how TECO gets there. Right. Obviously, we didn't put that in your packet because that's really not at your level, but we have that so we can use that to look at as well. I spoke to him on the phone, had a couple of emails with him, and he's really more interested in the idea that he's got a bachelor's degree, and that should be enough. But based on the way it is written in 425.1e, which is where that comes from, says an individual who holds a bachelor's degree or higher in education. So his bachelor's degree is not in education, and so we had some discussion on that, and I encouraged him to be at the advisory committee. I encouraged him to be here today. He's not, but we've got his letter. I mean, we know what he wants, and we can discuss that. But I think you could send it on for a proposal because it's a required rule review.
And gotcha.
The advisory committee could tweak it at their next meeting if they see fit.
All right. Mr. Reedy.
Good morning again, commissioners. Because I'm old, I remember this when we changed this. But to Wisco's point, when we discussed this originally, that higher level of instructor needed not just to have a degree, but to have a degree in education, because ostensibly you're running a small college or a small school. So it's not about what you got going up. It's having that actual education. I do remember this vividly because there was such a breakthrough. But it is the highest level of our instructor certification, so you should have a high level in an education. It's just not like bringing a bunch of firemen into a room and talking to them. It's the whole deal. So anyway, I do. We had that discussion when we changed. Remember when we changed all these names and titles and all that stuff. So yeah, I do remember that.
And just to be clear, Jim, I'm not asking for an evaluation. I don't support any bachelor's degree. I'm just asking for a look at the reciprocity for the TECOL. I don't know enough about what it takes to get the TECOL instructor certification, but I think what Chief DeYeer brought up is a valid point, and so I'd leave it for discussion with the commissioners. I know what it takes. I took to get a master instructor, and that was a challenge, and it's very targeted, so you can run an academy or what have you, be the coordinator or the chief in charge of an academy. And if we believe there's enough of a variance between the two, then that's fine. But I would be interested in seeing the core curriculum, the requirements put down. But they are correct. Just because you go through a TECOL certificate, we have some fire marshals in here who may actually hold an instructor certificate on both sides of the house who could speak to this. But certainly the fire one is fire specific. And just because you're, an instructor on one side of the house doesn't mean you're qualified to be an instructor on the other side. Are there any fire marshals who would like to speak to that? Or anybody from the Fire Marshal Association who might want to speak to that?
I agree with Mr. Coatney look at the reciprocity. We used to do that. I mean, TDH was accepted by, and it was switched, and then it got to where there was a division. But now we've seen a division in public safety for the longest time. They just didn't really get along. And now with the events that's happened over the years and these larger events, we've got unified command where we're asking these guys to work hand in hand. And we're doing that. And I think we really need to look at that because, I mean, whether you're teaching a guy to teach a class about basic fire, you're teaching a guy about to do basic law enforcement entry, you're teaching them how to teach. And so I think the basic level should be accepted all the way across. Because it's become more about us instead of what the goal is and to get people trained to a level of knowledge. And I think we need to look at that and look at accepting a basic level of instructor across the board.
Okay. Mr. Anger.
So I served on the testing and curriculum committee about the time that this rule was changed. And part of this was at the time TECOL was accepting a methods of teaching to give a instructor certificate at that time. And then when we really started getting into more of 1041 and doing the instructor one, instructor two, instructor three, there was a gap right there. I don't know what exists today. I haven't really gotten into the TECOL side of things today, but I know what existed when the rule was initially written. And that was, we were both accepting methods of teaching initially to get an instructor certificate. And then we had things like instructional aids and other things like that helped you to advance. Well, then we changed over to NFPA 1041. I'm not educated on what T-Cold is doing today, but I do know when that was written, it was basically we were equal when we both did methods of teaching to attain an instructor's initial instructor certification.
Okay.
I can add too that we'll have to look at IFSAC, but I'm almost certain that because of our IFSAC accreditation, we cannot accept the methods of teaching. But we'll get all of it in front of us and bring it to the next advisory committee meeting, and we'll have a
I think
big
you're right
discussion.
Okay. Chief Kissman.
Yeah, real quick. Holding both TCOL and TCFP instructor and having taught both curriculums, I would tell you that the TCOL curriculum, the initial instructor, they also now have an advanced instructor course, but their basic instructor class covers everything that is in instructor one from basically a principal standpoint. The TCOL class goes into actually writing lesson plans, preparing multiple presentations and giving those through that 1 week class, which is a lot of what we see in instructor two. The TCOL class would not anywhere, and having instructor three as well, would not meet the requirements for TCFP's instructor three in any manner. However, it would come close to probably two. I think the curriculum would need to be looked at, but if someone's seeking an instructor one through this commission, those requirements would be met through TCOL's basic instructor course. So if you're looking at, do we give them the one, do we put reciprocity in place, I think that you could look at the TCOL instructor to instructor one, possibly instructor two, but it nowhere meets the requirements of the instructor three that this commission has. So you still learn all the same basic principles on how to teach and how to present a class and prepare curriculum. So that would be the similarities that I see between them and where I think a logical line would be drawn. Definitely not acceptable for instructor three.
Okay, thank you for that insight.
So, Mr. Chair, I just make a recommendation that we review the TCOL instructor series compared to the TCFP instructor series and the ISAC requirements. And so we can just do a comparative analysis to see what we can do reciprocity on since we do work together. And if there's areas we don't, then we stand by what we already have written.
All right. Chief, do you have another comment?
No, sir. I just was here in case you had any additional questions. Are we going to table this then, or are we moving forward with it? Because I would still suggest that we have Chief McAuliffe weigh in. I know he's probably listening to the meeting right now, if not, I'll listen to the tape later. But I know he had extensive comments about
it. So what's the pleasure of the commission? Commissioners, would you like to table this and bring it back? I think it's had enough conversation. There's enough concerns. I think we need a little more time with it.
Agreed.
So I'll entertain a motion to table 12B4.
Motion.
Motion by Commissioner Wilson, second by Commissioner Hamilton. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. All right, 12B5.
So, Commissioners, at our meeting in March, we did discuss this, but we ultimately did not have a motion to move forward to you. We tabled it at our meeting for our next meeting in June to finish discussing this.
Okay. So, is that a no action? Deb, is that a no action? All right. So we'll take no action on item five. Okay, we'll move on to C. We hadn't read that yet.
Report from the Curriculum and Testing Committee regarding recommended changes to the Fire Investigator Certification Curriculum Manual.
Good morning, Commission. Candace Barnett with TCFP. Pat McCall was not able to attend today. Testing and Curriculum is seeking an adoption date of June 1st, 2022 on the new updated curriculum for Investigator. It went to the Firefighter Advisory Committee, and they had some suggestions of making changes on page 89, which is now page 87, to defining acronyms. So those acronyms were actually defined as to what they were. Again, that is page 87. It is section 501, 19.8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. We also had a few errors in page numbers, and those have also been corrected. A statement from Mr. Malone, which was a question from the Firefighter Advisory Committee as to why a redundancy was made. That redundancy, which is a duplication of 1033 in the shaded boxes at the beginning of each chapter, is by design as a reference back to the NFPA standard. Overall, the curriculum was updated to NFP 1033 standard professional qualifications for fire investigator from the 2014 edition to the 2022 edition. Almost all changes are made in the gray boxes at the beginning of each chapter, reflecting the changes in NFPA 1033. The list of 16 special topics was increased. It was rearranged and moved from chapter 1 to chapter 4 in the NFPA standard 1033. Therefore, all numbering related to these topics was also changed in the curriculum manual. The tasks to be performed in the 28 JPRs required in NFPA 1033 have not changed, other than minor wording changes to reflect vocabulary changes with NFPA.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions or comments? And I believe this was just a report, so there's no action to be taken. So thank you.
We're seeking an effective date of June 1st, 2023 for the curriculum.
Okay. So.
Need a motion to approve the changes with an effective date of June 1st, 2022.
Oh, sorry, 2022. Wrong year. This June 1st, 2022.
Yeah, I saw this. All right, say that one more time.
We need an effective date for June 1st, 2022.
Okay. Commissioners, with that, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Jones, second by Commissioner Cantu. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Item 13.
37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, New Chapter 463, Advisory Committees.
Commissioner Cantu.
Thank you. Just to quickly give a background, you know, Sunset charged the agency to look at our agency to develop language and some rules regarding that. So a committee on committees was formed. In forming that language, we looked at Sunset, looked at the state law, and really tried to imitate or take what was there and put it into the language for the commission here. So in saying that, it was not more restrictive and it wasn't more lenient except for one, three letters or three words. So if I can get y'all's attention on page 230, it really talks about terms. It starts off by saying 1/3 of committee members should be appointed annually to serve 6-year terms of office. Obviously, the 1/3 was put in there simply to force committees to get into a rotation. But obviously, 1/3 doesn't work because if you do 1/3 every year, every 3 years, you basically turned over everybody. I really do believe that 1/3 should just be removed and just say committee members should be appointed annually to serve 6-year terms of office with the intent to stagger and to ensure continuity. That language is more restrictive. It's not written anywhere in state law. It's not written in the Sunset. During the last commission meeting that we had, we charged the committee chairs to go back and to give us a rotation, which would kind of force that. I don't think we want to put something that's more restrictive that's asking them to turn over. If you're going to do anything, you would say 1/6 perhaps because you're doing it every 6 years, right? But if you just say should be appointing people annually, it will start to stagger. The committee chairs were charged with bringing back a plan to say, hey, how they're going to stagger people going forward. I think that addresses the concern that some constituents had about, you know, getting new blood in there and forcing this turnover. But the rest of it, I believe,
meets the intent of Sunset and certainly with state law and is good to go. I would just remove that 130 and start that line with committee members should.
Okay. Commissioners.
I'm looking for some discussion.
Yeah, comments, discussion.
I'll throw something out there from the staff perspective. The language in the rules is what we have to live with. So to Commissioner Cantu's point, the more restrictive the language is in this part, that's what you're going to have to do. And I don't believe you want to replace a third of the committee every year. And I don't think that was the intent. Where I do think everybody naturally got hung up on is what do you do with the folks that are currently serving on all of these committees, and how do you start that? I don't know that I have an answer for it, or is my answer really appropriate here, but I think that language about terms just needs to be general, and then you all make the decision as a body when you want to start that and move forward that way. But to have language like this in there, we're going to put it in front of you every year that you got to replace a third of all of these committees, and I don't believe that's your intent.
Right. Yeah, the intent was really to force a turnover, was to, you know, but this is way too restrictive. My fault. I'm the person that put the 130 in there.
Commissioners, any other comments, discussion?
Well, I guess I'll say something since I always had something to say on this.
And it's the right time.
I think Commissioner Cantu is correct. I think it's too restrictive. We've had challenges with filling volunteer positions on some of our committees and boards across the state, not just related to the commission. And if we have people who are willing to serve and we can hold them accountable anyway through the chairs and through you as a chairperson, then I don't see any reason to make it more restrictive than the law requires. So I'm supportive of changing the language at the recommendation of Commissioner Cantu.
Okay. Commissioner Sharma.
I second that. I absolutely support this because it, you know, there's a learning curve as well. You know, when each member comes in and there's so many dedicated members that are helping, and to force us to change that when maybe we're not getting any other help is going to hinder any progress. So I absolutely second that.
Okay. Commissioners, any other comments?
Just for clarification, what I would like the sentence to say, and this is going to go for every committee members should be appointed to serve 6-year terms of office with the intent to stagger and to ensure continuity of membership from year to year.
Okay. Commissioners, you good with that language as presented?
Yes.
Seeing a lot of head noddings, I'll entertain a motion to approve this with the modifications described.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Hamilton.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Law. Any other discussion?
Can we read that back again before we vote on this?
All right. Commissioner Cantu, you want to read that one more time?
Committee members should be appointed to serve 6-year terms of office with the intent to stagger and to ensure continuity of membership from year to year. And that would apply for every committee. This is it's basically written 3 times in this chapter.
Okay. Mr. Reedy.
Commissioners, I'm not sure if this gets us sideways with the statute, but the statute, as it was pointed out to me, says shall serve 6-year staggered terms, not should. So I don't know if we can do this. I'm not opposed to anything. I just want to point that out so that we don't get sideways with the statute.
I'm okay with shall.
Okay.
.008. Members appointed under this chapter shall serve 6-year staggered terms, but may not be appointed to more than 2 consecutive terms.
All right.
Shall.
Okay. Everybody's good with that modification?
Would you like me to reread that now?
If you don't mind.
No, absolutely. Committee members shall be appointed to serve 6-year terms of office with the intent to stagger and to ensure continuity of membership from year to year.
Okay. Commissioner Hamilton, do you modify your motion?
Yes, sir.
Commissioner
please.
Law, do you modify your second?
Will do,
sir. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Thank you, Commissioner Cantu, for your work on that. All right. Moving on to item 14.
Proposed rule review for the following: 37 Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 401, Administrative Practice and Procedure, 421 Standards for Certification, 429 Minimum Standards for Fire Inspectors, 431 Fire Investigation, 433 Driver Operator, and 437 Fees.
Okay. We'll start with 14.1, I suppose.
Well, I have a quick, I'll point this out since we're on the, I'm on the right page this time.
Okay.
On page 240, when we're talking about 401.11, it references your position as presiding officer. But in 463, it references your position as a chairperson. I know it used to be called the presiding officer. So if we're here cleaning up the language, we might as well make it consistent throughout.
No, good catch. Okay. Any other discussion on 14.1? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
I'm sorry.
So moved.
Moved by motion by Commissioner Smith.
Hold on a minute. These are all new rules for the required rule review. So we're required to review all of them. So in keeping with the policy and what you guys did last time, you sent the last ones to the firefighter advisory, and you made a statement that all of them would go there for review.
Gotcha.
And then they'll bring it back to with recommendations for changes. So we can certainly take that recommendation and address it when we get to the advisory and make sure it's in there when it comes back.
Thank you for checking me up on that. Okay, anything else on 14.1? All right, 14.2. Comments, questions? 14.3. Mr. Chan.
Leonard Chan, Houston Fire Department. We would like to request that it's considered that if you have a, let's say, an arson investigator, whatever level, it's prima facie, with no additional fees to have that same level for a fire investigator. We came across an issue, one of our investigator chiefs. He is listed as a master arson investigator, but unfortunately, he's listed as a basic fire investigator. And we think it's a redundant fee and redundant process because the qualifications are actually higher for the master arson investigator, and it would be just pretty much shelling out money just for a title change, even though the content has pretty much remained constant.
Okay, Commissioners, any questions? Thank you for that.
Thank you.
14.5 or 14.6.
So obviously this doesn't include the changes we just adopted for fees. So I would assume that's going to be changed to reflect what we just did today, right?
Yeah, so what you approved today, by the time it gets to the advisory committee, it'll be the rule in entirety, and the law requires that we review the whole rule. So, yeah, we're chasing a rule with a rule review, but it's just the timing of it.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, Commissioner, Mr. Chan.
Can we request, Leonard Chan again from Houston Fire Department, since that review has been done for that specific subchapter, can we exempt that from the rule review to
No. We're required by the register to publish it as being reviewed, regardless what action has been taken previously. We have to do the review, and that's a requirement by the register.
All right, understood.
It would make it a lot easier, but this is government, I'll remind you. It's not supposed to be easy.
Okay, any other discussion or comments on item 14? So staff, so this goes back to advisory.
Based on the meeting in January, you you all decided just all these rule reviews would process.
But we don't need to take, do we need to take action to send it back, or does it just kind of automatically go back now that we've had the discussion?
I think at this point, you would just make a motion to go ahead and send it to them.
All right, I just want to make sure procedurally that we were doing the right thing. Okay. All right, so I have a motion by Commissioner Jones.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Glenn to send this back to advisory. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Thank you. Item 15.
Review of 2021 data collected regarding firefighter injuries and the development of recommendations to be submitted to the State Fire Marshal's Office for inclusion in its annual report.
Good morning, everyone. Grace Wilson here. I'm the Public Information Officer at TCFP. I'm also the administrator for the Injury Reporting Program. And so you have the first draft of the 2021 injury report. We reviewed it at the Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting last month, and now it's your turn. So if you have any questions about anything, I'm happy to talk about it. Like I said, it's a first draft. You'll be reviewing it again in July for final adoption. What we really need from you as a committee is the at the very end of the report, you are supposed to provide recommendations for the fire service based on the data that you find in the report. So that's the ultimate goal, but I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
Commissioners, any questions for Grace? Grace, I just have a generic question that you may or may not be able to answer. The participation with the injury reporting, are we getting better or worse, staying the same? I mean, overall.
I think it's about the same, and we think it's pretty good. It's around, 72%?
Okay.
Let's see. And the way that we figure that it's pretty good is there are around 200 or so very, very small departments with like three or less people in them. And they could include things like fire marshal's offices, sheriff's offices. They probably don't even know that they're supposed to submit injury reports and probably don't have any injuries. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Commissioners, any other questions or comments for Grace?
So I would say generally speaking, I don't think there are any surprises.
Yeah.
Do we need to reaffirm the recommendations at the end or modify them?
Either one, yeah.
Well, so we're still working on this, and we'll bring a final version to your July meeting, which means we'll vet it one more time through the advisory committee just for thoughts on recommendations and such. So if you have any recommendations that you feel now you want to get on the record, we can certainly take note of that, or you can let us know as we progress, or we can even do that at the July meeting. But we have to submit it to the State Fire Marshal by September 1. So,
okay.
And keep in mind that the Health and Wellness Committee is going to be reviewing it, so they may have some recommendations for you.
Sure.
But they'll take a really in-depth look at it.
Okay.
And thanks for pointing that out, Grace. So Health and Wellness will see it at their May 31 meeting. Firefighter Advisory will see it again in June. It'll come back to you all in July. So there's plenty of opportunity still to work on the recommendations. I think as to what Grace said, we're still getting some last minute 21 statistics in. So it's still a work in progress at this point. But we've tried to get it to you now so everybody can see it and be chewing on what recommendations you want.
Sure. All right. Commissioners, any questions about that process? Any comments?
I like the format. I think it's a good format. I'm looking forward to it being part of the CE curriculum where all firefighters in the state have to review so they know what's going on across the state. And hopefully they can start to affect change within their organization when they're informed of what's going on. So I think that's a positive step.
I'll certainly echo that. I mean, this just keeps getting better and better, and arming people with that information out there I think is one of the things that will be a game changer, hopefully, going forward.
Yeah, and I've been getting a lot of questions about that, and people are contacting me and asking me to send them the injury reports so they can review them and everything, so it's been good.
Yeah, thank you.
But my one observation, looking at it for the first time as a new commissioner, is I think firefighters do a great job when they're on the job compared to the rest of the nation. Perhaps when they're away from the job, not so well, you know.
Well, it was said at the executive conference last week the most dangerous place to be is in a fire station in the state of Texas.
It looks that way.
Because that's where the majority of the injuries are taking place. Okay. Commissioners, anything else? Okay. We'll be looking over that. Grace, thank you. Okay. Moving on to item 16.
Matters from the agency chief. A, update regarding agency duties and responsibilities. B, decisions of agency chief in contested cases and consent orders. C, status regarding division functions. Subset A, training approval and testing, test administered training approvals, record reviews, and online training audits. B, certification of professional development training applications, IFSAC seals issued, certifications issued. Training facilities, curriculum and development, library resource requests. C, compliance, including biannual inspections, compliance officers training, issues involving regulated entities. And D, information technology, public website design, farm and FIDO improvements, CAPS, central accounting payroll personnel system, IT security policy, and service requests.
Chief Wisco.
He said it all. under A, just a couple things to make you aware of. Again, you've already heard this, the CE being offered for your meeting now, as well as the advisory committee meeting. There has been some question why we don't offer it for curriculum and testing. I think there's some test question security issues there, but we're going to discuss that a little more with curriculum and testing. But I'd encourage everybody. There were nine people that pre-registered today, but the registration barcode is on the table over there, and you can register while you're here, and there's folks from Teaks to help you with that process if you need it. So,
and not to knock Firefighter Advisory Committee, but if you go to a curriculum and testing meeting, you've earned that CE because is a day full of information,
yeah.
I promise you.
I think I'm going to have a conversation with them at the next meeting, and we're going to talk about how we could craft something like that without having it open for people to sit there when they're talking about test questions. Yeah. We need to be, and we've had a lot of conversation during the committee makeup discussions about that, so that's something we're going to discuss. The next thing, I just want to make all of you aware that you had a report earlier from Wes about TIFMIS and the Commission on Fire Protection. If you read 419, we're one of the stakeholders, and the law actually references us as having a role in that, but we didn't participate. In speaking with the leadership of TIFMIS and the Forest Service, we have engaged as far as being a responder now, a part of TIFMIS, so we have staff, certified firefighters on staff who are rotating through the Forest Service EOC, functioning as a TIFMIS coordinator, if you will, helping the guys in the field. So it's just another way that our agency is trying to help out another agency and help with a statewide disaster at this point. I don't see us doing this on every possible TIFMIS deployment, but I think on the large scale ones, such as what we're seeing right now, or maybe a hurricane when we get another one of those, there's enough of a need that we can plug somebody in there. And we've worked it out with the comptroller. Our folks we're eligible for the reimbursement and all that, so we're tracking it just like any department would. And we'll be submitting the paperwork to TDEM. But just wanted you to know we were engaged at that level.
And I think that's great. I mean, I think that builds relationships, and certainly this fire season that we're in right now is kind of an all hands on deck. So anything that we can do as an agency to help out with that, I know it would be appreciated statewide. So thank you for making that work out.
All right, and we appreciate TIFMIS and the Forest Service embracing that and working with us as we learn our way through that. In July, it's already published. We're trying to get the word out, but I want to make you all aware that there are a number of updates that must be made to the testing component of our online system. These updates have not really been kept up with over the years, and we've identified in the last year or so quite a few. So for 3 weeks in July, from the 1st of July to, I want to say, the 22nd or so, and I'm going to say or so because it might take longer, we're going to bring the testing system down. And IT and our testing and certification staff are going to work on making sure all these updates are there. These are references. These are changes to questions. Whatever changes need to happen, they're going to try to pull that off in a three-week period. Might take longer than that, but we've picked that period, and we're advertising that now. We picked July based on it's just really a good slow period of time where there's not a lot of classes and academy classes and such going on that we won't be that disruptive. But there will be about a three-week period that one element will be offline, and we're going to make those changes. Moving forward, you will probably hear this happening every July, and it should only take a week or less because we're going to be up to date, and we're going to be able to do it a lot quicker because there won't be so much to do. but I just want to make you aware of that. You may hear about it. You won't hear about it until the first or second week of July when somebody's trying to do something and they can't use it. Right. So we're trying to advertise it, talk about it at our regional meetings now, but I wanted to make all of you aware of it here. It's some much-needed updating that we got to do it. So, the last thing I wanted to brag on the agency a minute here. Every year the state does a Get Fit Challenge. The Commission on Fire Protection actually won second place for small state agencies as far as what the members of the agency or staff were able to do in that Get Fit Challenge. And so we're proud of that. Everybody's working on staying healthier. And I think a lot helps with the new telecommute policy, and they're able to work from home, so it's easier to work out than coming here and walking the halls and getting run down. So,
yeah. Congratulations on that.
Thanks. 16B, there have been no contested cases or consent orders, so there's nothing to report there. 16C, you've got a report within the notebook from every division there. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have on that, but I think they all kind of speak for themselves.
Okay. Commissioners, anything jump out that you need to have a further discussion on that you know of?
Okay. Okay. The last thing I have under C, today is a rather special day. This is the last meeting for our executive assistant, Deborah Cowan. She has spent 30 years with this agency. She spent almost 48 with the state, working at about five different ones. We're lucky that she liked this one and decided to stay here for the remaining 30 years now that she's done. There's not anything that happens here that Deb doesn't know or know the history of in years past. And Amanda will be stepping into her shoes, and they've been working together for about 6 months now, and I think it'll be a seamless change. It will be a change, and we're going to miss her. So with your permission, I've got a presentation I'd like to make to her.
Absolutely.
Now, I know there are some folks who showed up for this meeting who might have something to say, too.
Well, I hope so.
So we wanted to give Deborah something that she's not a firefighter, so we didn't want to give her a helmet or something like that that served no purpose. We wanted to give her something that would remind her of her fun days here in the last 30 years. So we picked a cutting board because what we
did you get a radioactive cutting board or what?
So,
so what we wanted to give Deborah was something to remind her of her time here. We've often heard people say, and Chief Kalani, who's in the audience, has always said it best, this is like making sausage, what we do here. But we decided on a cutting board. It's got the state seal, and it's got an inscription that I'll read on it. In appreciation of Deborah Cowan for 30 years of dedication and commitment to the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. So, thank you.
Kalani, you're up. Come on. You're standing up.
I thought I'd never be here again.
We're glad
y'all
to have you back.
Change that six-year rule to the Kalani rule. That's what you made it for, to keep somebody from being me again. Deborah, you was it. I'm telling you. You was an English teacher that kept me honest. You corrected everything we ever did. But at least I think we entertained you in the meeting. Okay. But you were the best thing that ever happened to that Firefighter Advisory Committee. You kept us on. But could I have one copy of the Kalani rule if you could find it? I want to frame it because it's gone. But you did a wonderful job all those years. And you quietly kept me in line. And then you'd eat my ass out when you got me in the office. That's all right. I appreciate everything you did for us. Everything, and I hope you enjoy. You still got that Corvette? All right, well, just enjoy driving that car. You know, if I got in it, I'd never get out. I can't get in, you know. I'm old. But you did a wonderful job, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Come on, Lenny.
It's going to be hard, Deborah. Thank you for everything you've done. Anytime I needed stuff, or the rest of the committee and the commission needed stuff, you were there for us and they were ready to do anything for us. Thank you for everything. I can't follow what he just said, but I appreciate everything you did for us. And my wife and I got something for you.
Chief of Year.
Yeah, and Deb, lastly from the Firefighter Advisory Committee, a heartfelt thank you for everything that you've done, not just for this committee, the commission, for the firefighters and men and women in the fire service in the state of Texas. You've made an impact. There's been a lot of changes over the last decade, and you're the only person who's been the constant over all those years. As people have come and gone or changed positions, but you're a diamond in the rough, and we thank you very much for your service. Thank you.
Deborah, I'll say, just on behalf of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection and serving as an employee for the state of Texas, thank you for your dedicated service. You know more than anybody that anytime I need something, I call your number. I call your number before I call Wisco or whoever's phone number. You have been a fixture here, and your work is immense. And the relationships that you've helped foster and maintain and the improvements that you've helped this body do in service to the firefighters in the state of Texas does not go unrecognized. So thank you for keeping us on track all these years and making sure that we're following the rules and doing the right thing and keeping us in line when we're running these meetings. We couldn't be where we're at today without your service. So thank you for that and all that you've done.
And she told us she'll still be around and we can call her, but I'm sure the day after she leaves, she's going to change it.
I'm pretty sure. Just make sure I get that new phone number.
Deb, I appreciate it from way back when I was just sitting in the meetings before I ever made firefighter advisory. And I hope part of the six-month training, you taught the facial expressions to Amanda, because I don't know if you guys pick up, but a lot of times when we're going down the wrong way, all you got to do is look over at Deb, and she's making an expression like, okay, we're not right here. Hold on, what do we got to do here, Deb? So I appreciate it. I mean, as long as I've been around, you've been here, and you're definitely going to be missed, and I hope you know how valuable you've been in the fire service and how many firefighters out there are doing the job and being safe because of the work that you've given back to this commission. So I appreciate it.
Deborah's like squirming. She's like, oh, God, just move on. Okay. Deborah, thank you again. All right, moving on to item 17.
Personal matters regarding the appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation, reassignment, and duties of the agency chief.
Commissioners, I don't think we have anything to discuss?
Right. Wisco some anxiety medicine. Yeah, yeah.
All right, before we open item 18,
my
I just want to
favorite part of the meeting.
I just like to address the audience. Thank you all for being here today and taking a small part of time of your way from work. I mean, it means the world having you here. For those of you that get up and speak, we need that. We need that involvement and that participation. I commend you for being here. We look forward to seeing you again when we're back here in July. So thank you for coming today. And with that, I'll entertain a motion for item 18.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Jones, second by Commissioner Wilson. Any other discussion? All those in favor signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. We're adjourned.